Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke, and today's guest is Denise D'Amigio. She is a seer, a shaman, and creator of the Healers Realm podcast, which is part of the Shamanic Group, a place where people are given the appropriate tools and understanding to be guided in their own healing journey. Today, we'll be talking about shamanic meditations, energy healing, and her path to spirituality. Denise, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, John. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
We love it when someone's excited. Thank you. Now, shamanism, right? This is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, spiritual, mystical practice. What was the attraction for you in the first place?
Well, to be quite honest, it was an attraction. It was more so like I was thrown into it. And it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a scary thing, or it wasn't something that was intimidating or anything else. It was just really like, what is this? So I guess let's start with the dreams. I had a couple of dreams where I was told in the dreams that I was a shaman. And I was like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Because I had no idea what being a shaman or a shamanism was. And so then after those dreams, especially the dream with the man with the bird head in a boat in the sky, you know, after those dreams, and I actually was walking through an airport. I think it was the Chicago airport. I can't remember. But I was walking through an airport. It was around COVID time. The airport looked like zombie land where nobody was there. And all of a sudden, I heard woo and all these claps and, you know, all these things talking about shaman coming through. And I'm like looking around, nobody's there. And so I got to the train to take me to the rental car place so I could go to my hotel for the night. And I'm like, okay, when I get home, I need to start figuring out what the heck is a shaman, because this is bizarre. This is crazy. When I got home, I got an audible book on shamanism. And as I was washing the dishes, I was listening to that book, and everything that it was describing in there was me over the years, who I was automatically. And I was like, wow, okay.
So this came to you in a dream, but it sounds like you were in an airport. So you were conscious at the time, right?
It was three different events. It was two different dreams. One with a bird man in a boat in the sky with a staff that pointed to me and said, you're a shaman. And I was just in that dream. I was like, is his head a bird? So I was more interested in that than what he was actually telling me. But then another dream was with a lady, and she was like Native American looking, and she had electricity all around her. And she threw me a staff and said, you're a shaman. And I threw it back at her and I said, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not. And then she said, from one shaman to the next, you're a shaman. It just so happened that when that dream came about, I actually recognized the energy. And even though it didn't look like the person that I knew it was that person. So I went and talked to her, and she said, yeah, well, usually when I'm dealing with my clients, you know, I usually send them lightning bolts. And I was like, oh my goodness. So, you know, the lightning that I saw around her, and then her telling me that post, you know, dream, it was like, oh, okay. So the airport was the final thing that made me say, I need to look this up.
You're awake at this time.
Yes.
Right? Obviously.
Well, I was actually awake. And that's what kind of like really not scared me, but I was like shocked me the most is I think I saw a janitor, one janitor, but nobody pretty much was there. And I'm hearing all of this cheering and clapping and you're a shaman coming through. And I'm looking around like, what is this?
No one's there.
Exactly. Okay.
Sounds like a scene from a Stephen King movie. Okay, so question here, because I noticed a lot of people that have intuitive abilities and sensibilities, they tend to have these kind of experiences very early on in childhood. So as a kid, were you able to see spirits, or did you have any kind of psychic or paranormal events, or not necessarily?
I wasn't able to see spirits, and actually really early on decided, I asked God, everything else is good, but I don't want to see spirits. And this was actually, I asked him that after I started to hear the voice. So like one day I was sitting in my father's forum of his condominium, and I was playing, I believe, with a train or something like that. And all of a sudden, you know, I hear a voice and it says, "Denise, you're special. You're my daughter." And I'm like, and I'm so happy and excited. I'm not, you know, scared or anything. And I'm like, really? I am? Does that mean Jesus is my brother? And he's like, yeah, something like that. And he's like, you have special gifts. And I was like, really? Like the Aladdin, the genie, you know, because that's the movie that I was watching. So it was so interesting that he came down to my level of understanding and was talking to me. I wasn't afraid. I didn't even tell anybody about this until I got older. But yeah, he was like, you know, he was just really personal with me. From there, that's when I kind of like, I don't even know how I started making agreements, but yeah, I've made agreements throughout my life. Like, it's okay for me to, you know, hear these voices and everything else, but I don't want to see, like, because I saw The Sixth Sense. And after seeing The Sixth Sense, I said, no, I don't want to have that experience. And it hasn't happened.
Okay. And you were how old when this happened?
I was 5 when that happened.
Okay. You mentioned he. Do you have any inkling of who this was? Could that have been a spirit guide or something of that nature?
You know, I don't have, to my knowledge, male spirit guides. Although I did, at one point in time, I did ask that question. I don't know if they were my spirit guide or a guardian that showed up and they had a deep voice and everything else. And they just said a couple of words and then left and I never heard from them again. And so I don't know. I always say that that was God. Like the introduction to the spiritual world was God.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you never really had male spirit guides, which means you were obviously cognizant of spirit guides in the first place. Did you have female spirit guides or were these entities more of the shamanistic type of being?
Okay, so let me just say this. I didn't even know that they were spirit guides. I have no idea what they were. I just knew that they were there. And I didn't even know that there were more than one. And over the years, as I got older and as I started to connect with other people, because I thought I was only one, I didn't know that there was multiple people out there having these experiences. Like I said, I never really talked about it with anybody until like I got in my, I think, 30s. Well, actually, no, I take that back, 20s. That being said, there may be a difference in between the spirit guides when you're talking about shamanistic spirit guides and other spirit guides. And the reason being is because of the assignments that we have to do in these lives. And so we need particular spirit guides in order to guide us. My main spirit guide is a woman, the female, feminine energy.
Okay. You just mentioned assignments, which sounds very much like a soul assignment or a soul agreement. Mm-hmm. Did you make those agreements in this life? The reason I bring that up is because this often comes up when someone has past life memories and memories of the place where we go in between incarnations. Do you have any experience in that?
No, area? I don't recall the actual agreement that I've made prior to, but the assignment is clear and evident throughout my whole life, even before I even understood or knew what an assignment was. What I will say also is that I have broken contractual agreements that I have made in the past before I even got into this life. And how I did that was, it was simple. It's not a complicated ceremony. It's just really just saying what you do and do not want and really knowing how to say it and do it. And then honoring that and believing that it's going to occur.
In other words, you might have made an agreement for this life, this incarnation, but you say you can change
yes.
it?
Yes. Let me give you a prime example. So I had an agreement that I was supposed to experience this life with another human being. Well, that human being, I decided, was not somebody that I wanted to experience life with. I was actually in a ceremony at that particular time. And in the ceremony, I just said, you know, if this is the way that it's going to be, and I'm going to continue to have these experiences that I am not comfortable with, that I don't like, let's end it now. I don't want to have this experience. Let's hemorrhage the ties, you know, cut the ties, move forward without this individual. And ever since then, what is it called? Flames? Twin flames. Yes, sorry. Twin flames, and how you'll never lose the connection, and how this was supposed to be my twin flame. We've experienced so many lives together and everything else. Well, after I've been free. And so it is possible. And that's just one occurrence where I did say that and do. There's been others where I've also cut the ties and broke contracts that I had as well.
So when you break a contract, right? Now, I know this is not the easiest question in the world to ask, but with a broken contract, what kind of karmic implications might that have? Because I've been told many, many times that sometimes the assignments that we have for a particular life are not supposed to be pleasant because there's an objective, either that person or the group, to learn something from it. Do you have any insight into
that? That's a good question, what the karmic debt would be. I'm not too concerned about that. And the reason being is because the karmic debt that I have that is appeasing, and I know that is going to help me to live a happy and a good quality life, outweighs the other. And so me personally, I've been going back and forth on this in the last couple of just months. I was like, do I really want to come back to this life or do I not? I think I want to just be an ascended master and be somebody's spirit guide or guardian or something. And I was like, I don't even want to be a spirit guide. I think I want to be a guardian because I think the spirit guides have it bad sometimes. They got their work cut out for them. And so, you know, I'm still contemplating what I desire to have happen. And when you're talking about if it's going to bring, because of your severing ties or breaking contracts, is it going to be replaced with the negative? I personally don't think so. I personally think that the choice is ours. It's just, did I get the lesson that I needed to learn prior to severing the contract? And I believe I did.
Okay, so that would answer that question then, because I think the objective, as far as I've been told by several speakers that have been on the show, they would basically say the most important thing is the lesson, but then others would kind of deviate from that track or that line of thought. And they would say, there is no good and bad. It's all experience. And one incident or one instance, which kind of sticks out, is when someone told me, you can experience the being the aggressor, but it's also just as important to experience what it's like to be the victim. Do you see the positive and the negative, the light and the dark? The lesson's not so important as long as you get many different types of experiences. Do you have any insight into that as
Yes, I don't really truthfully believe that there is a good and bad. I was just having this conversation again yesterday, last night. We have no understanding to everything that occurs in this life and why it occurs. And so with our limited understanding, we have to realize how important it is to have balance in the world. And so this balance in the world, there's sea, there's water, there's land, there's sun, the day, and there's night. There's women and there's men, feminine energy, masculine energy. There is a balance. And so that's the distinction when you're talking about good and bad. They both are very important roles that need to be played in each individual's life.
So it sounds like what you just described is the 3D world we live in, which is also described as a world of duality, right? Right. Okay. Let's talk about some of your experiences with shamanism. I believe you've had some with indigenous peoples, indigenous
yes.
tribes, right?
Yes. When I went down the rabbit hole and I started to like get involved in shamanism even more, I sat with a couple of tribes. One Shipibo tribe, and being the Puin tribe, I actually sat with a Paje there for like 3 weeks and her children. And they always said, we're shamans in training. And I feel like even though that I say that I'm a shaman, I'm always going to be in training until the day I die. There's no arrival. And that's a wonderful experience that I know that is truth. There's no arrival. We're always consistently learning and observing and growing and ascending. And so I sat with them, and I actually learned later on, those people are actually my guardians. And this was a contractual agreement that had happened like many generations ago. It was very interesting because when I did a guided meditation and first met my spirit guide for the first time many years ago, and I met my guardians, and it was exactly those same people. And I even asked about them. They said, well, no, if you heard that, you need to go check into that. And so, but I never did until I saw them again. And I was like, that was them. I also sat with Kuro tribe. So that's this tribe that I'm initiated in, an energy healing tribe. And they don't even call themselves shamans, but that's, if you look at what they are and what they do, that's who they are. They're shamans, but they do energy healing. And I've been doing energy healing, and I didn't know what it was since 2006. And so when I got initiated into the tribe, I was already a Reiki master, and it instantaneously clicked. Like, oh, this is my people. This is the energy healing is my shamanic gift, like the one of the biggest.
Well, the energy healing, I was told it's not only just a component of shamanism, but it also seems to be an entry point for many intuitives, whatever the experience is. For instance, there's a woman that I interviewed recently, and through meditation, she discovered energy healing somehow. Through energy healing and the combination of the two, then she discovered her past lives, and she was also able to have contact with people that have passed on. Now, do you see the same thing in your work, that the energy healing is kind of like a flashpoint for someone to discover their intuitive abilities or gifts?
Yeah, if it's coming from the individual person practicing energy healing, possibly, because it's the ability they're using to really use energy to heal themselves, and then also energy for so many different things. See, I'm an energy healer as well as a energy transmuter. And so I'm highly skilled at transmuting the energy. A lot of times when people get it, whatever that energy is, if it's not appeasing energy, like if it's not the energy that they want, they don't know what to do with it. And if they do something with it, they don't transmute it. They maybe cast it away, and the energy goes somewhere else and creates havoc somewhere else. And so with me, it's more so knowing how to transmute it. If a person has started to do or deal with energy healing and they know what they're doing, and they didn't just go through some kind of a bogus class, they really do have the opportunity to open different doors that may have been closed to them.
So transmuting energy, that's something I don't hear a lot about. Well, I guess the concept is probably easier than the actual work, but would that be basically transforming negative or dark energy into something positive and useful? Or is it a matter of taking negative energy and putting that into like a psychic waste disposal?
So it's basically transforming energy into something that is more so needed in that experience. And it's a way of controlling the energy that is different from just energy healing. And so I think a good energy healer is also a transmuter as well. I'm not going to say that you have to be a transmuter in order to be a good energy healer, but I will say that I think a good energy healer also is a transmuter. And so you can even have animals that are transmuters. I have a friend that has a cat that in different ceremonies, the cat sits there and they transmute the energy during the ceremonies. Another thing that I have experienced in transmuting energy, you could do it in different ways. In music, I'm a singer, and not even just a singer. I have downloaded a song that's in a totally different language. And not only am I singing it in a different language, but I'm also singing it in different pitches, specifically for the transmutation to occur.
So in other words, you're not singing in 440, it's like 432 or something different.
The thing is, the same words, the same songs, depending upon how the pitch that I'm singing them in, and then the order of the words that I'm putting them in, it creates a totally different meaning. It can mean one thing in this ceremony, and then it could mean a totally different thing, and I'm doing something different in the next, but same words that I'm using, just different pitches and different expressions.
What you said about animals is really interesting, and it would at least partially explain why so many people have pets. Do you think that it's possible that many of our domestic pets, cats, dogs, they basically also transmute energy for us without us even knowing about it.
I would agree to that. I feel like there are particular animals out there that help with that. And so, like, for instance, it's been like 7 weeks and I had basically open heart surgery. It's not actually called that, but they did go in and open up my chest and my sternum and everything else and put my heart and lungs on a bypass and had to do some things in there. All of a sudden, I was like, I want a cat. I have no idea where that came from. It just came to me that I need a cat. And this is why it's very important to do integrative wellness and medicine, is because I was blocked in an area and it needed to be unblocked by conventional medicine, which was the surgery. And so once that happened, now the healing process has begun. I already see ways that I was blocked spiritually and in different departments of my life or compartments of my life, that it's now flowing smoothly. And so now the cat energy, and also you have to go look at it as far as like with Isis, with the Egyptians, because that's where my connection is highly in the Egyptian realm, is coming in and saying, we need to come in for this next stage of your life. I'm also a jaguar. That's my representation. And even in ceremonies, when I'm sitting in ceremonies, I'm on the side of the jaguar side every single ceremony. And I realize I'm always on the side of the jaguar, but that's who I am, you know? And so it just goes, it went.
So the jaguar has the strongest bite of all the big cats. That might be part of the attraction. You mentioned the Egyptians a moment ago. Did some kind of entity or someone representing the Egyptian realm come through in a way, or how did you discover
that? So many years ago, I took like a class, and this is when I first was going down the road of experiencing different things other than Christianity, because I've seen too much that is not explained or explored in Christianity. And you can't unsee that. And nobody wants to talk about it. It's demonic. And so I wanted to know more. So I took this class, and as I was taking this class, one of the things was go meet your spirit guides. So I'm meeting my spirit guides, and here she comes, and she's like, I feel her wings. I feel the wind on her wings. It's a bright, like, gold light that's coming in. And then she just hands me a little small world and closes my hand, and it says, the world is mine. And I already knew as soon as she flew in, Isis. And what's so interesting about this is that when I know these things, like, for instance, I would point out somebody and I'm like, that's a healer. And I'm like, where does these words come from? Because I don't even know what they mean.
They're not
your
words.
Yeah, I don't even know, like, where did I get this information from? And so after she closed my hand on the world and she flies off and everything else, and I go back into class, and that's the same time I met my guardians and everything else, and I'm telling them about my experiences. And then people in the class were like, well, all I saw was a purple blob. My experience is totally different from a lot of other people's experiences.
You mentioned something a moment ago about Christianity. I'm going to go out on a limb here. This is another tough question, but it does come up when we talk about Christianity and shamanism. Apparently, there are Gnostic Gospels, I believe there's four of them, that speak of secret teachings of Jesus and how they're similar to shamanic practices. Has your experience given you any insight into that?
I'm glad that you asked that. And also, God, I'm getting emotional about it, because I feel like that Jesus has been so misrepresented. The way that I look at Jesus, Yeshua, is that he is one of the baddest shamans that ever walked this earth. He himself is a shaman. And how I also look at him, and I was just having this conversation yesterday. I'm glad that we're having it today, you know, this podcast, because a lot of stuff is fresh on my mind. Everybody puts him as, he is a person. He did come in the flesh form because he needed to, right? He's also, it's a what? What is he? And the reason why it says that you can't get to the Father, which is God, without going through the Son, is because Jesus, Yeshua, he represents healing. That's his whole thing, is healing. And for you to get to God and really see God for who he is, and also what this world is and why it is, you have to go through healing. which is him. And once you go through that, it's almost like the veil is able to be lifted from your eyes, the filters removed, and you're able to see things more clearly.
The reason I brought that up, and I'm glad I did, because apparently this has been on your mind as well. In episode number 115, a woman named Betty Kovach, we've done actually a couple episodes, and one of the first things she brought up is that there's evidence that the church has suppressed our mystic and shamanic past for centuries. And one of the other things she brought up is, I believe this goes back to Egypt, speaking of which, in the fourth century, there were the Nag Hammadi texts, right? Which, long story made short, Jesus was represented as saying, don't worship me, become me. The officers of the church went to all these encampments at Nag Hammadi and said, either you destroy every single one of these texts or you face either excommunication or execution. They did not destroy them. They buried them, and they were discovered right after World War II. Betty's point, and it was a very good one, was the church basically inverted the myth and taught us to worship a God outside us when it's actually within us.
I completely agree. I completely agree, because that's what you see in Christianity. It's like the blood of Jesus and all these things. And you have to also ask yourself, why does it seem like the spiritual giftings came before Christianity? They were here before Christianity.
Way before.
Exactly. They helped to make it powerful. But as far as the power doesn't lie in worshiping Jesus as a being, the power lies, just like you said, is in becoming him and entering into that healing. And once you get healed, you start to see who, first of all, who you really are and why you are. And then you start to see other people and having an appreciation and respect for their role in this life as well.
And another thing that comes to mind, that reading about the Mormons at about the same time I discovered all this years ago, and apparently the Mormons believe that a mortal man could become God or a God. So it's not like this idea is completely novel, but when you really look at the entire history, it makes a lot of sense. Shamanism, as far as we know, is at least, what, 30, 40,000 years old? It goes back quite a ways. Now, since we're talking about Christianity and Jesus and healing, the Healer's Realm podcast, what can we expect from that? And what are the things that might come
up? One of
up?
The things that inspired me to create the Healer's Realm podcast is because when I was going down my journey of discovering the spiritual side of things and shamanism, I created the podcast and I had people on there to share their experience, how to basically protect themselves, what to look for, what questions to ask before participating in any kind of ceremonies and things of that nature. It took off from there because I wanted to explore other things like spiritual giftings that I have. I don't consider myself as a psychic. I consider myself a seer. So I had a person come on there and we discussed that. And I wanted a place where people could go and get information. What's going to be coming up is really interesting, is I want to be able to kind of like integrate the spiritual side of things where people could really get the tools that they need in order to have the best healthy experience in a holistic way, experience that they could have. In 2023, it's more of a progressive thing that we need to try to integrate. We come from different bloodlines, and our bloodlines are calling out for different things that is needed within our bodies and to survive, and also in our spiritual journeys.
Now, you just mentioned being a seer, which I meant to bring up a bit earlier. You're a seer, but you're not a psychic. I always was under the impression that a seer is either psychic and or a medium. So how is that different for you?
This is how I got to the point of knowing or feeling like they were different. I never connected with the word psychic. I was told in a ceremony that I was a seer, and I came from a line of seers. And I was even shown the seer that saw me and started to get things in motion to protect me and to give me tools that I needed, and also contractual agreements and stuff like that for me. So anyway, how I see being a seer is I've come in contact with so many different psychics, and I really was studying them. The thing that I see is integrity, number one. There's a lot of psychics that have it, but there are a lot that are out there that are on full display that don't.
That don't have the training, in other words. I think it's important, if I can bring this up really quickly. A man named Robert Ginsberg, I believe he is the founder of the Forever Family Foundation. He wrote a book called The Medium Explosion. Apparently, it's a handbook for people that are starting to explore mediums, because his whole theory is that the bulk of the mediums out there, even though they might mean well, don't have enough training. And I think that applies to not just mediums, but other practitioners like shamans and energy healers and the like. Would you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. And some people, especially in the shamanic community, they first discovered shamanism a year ago, sat in a couple of ceremonies, and now they're a shaman. And you need to have formal training. Now, mind you, I started to really go down the rabbit hole of shamanism in 2020. However, I've been living my whole life like this. I just did not know what it was called. I was transmuting energy. I was an energy healer since 2006. I've been seeing spirits and communicating with spirits since I was five. These are things that I've done, and now I just have a name for it and a place for it in a particular community. But this is who I've been all my life. Whereas people just woke up one day, saw a shaman, and sat in a couple of ceremonies, and now all of a sudden they're a shaman. I think that's very disrespectful. You have introduced me as a shaman. I'm still in training, and I'll be in training all my life. And I feel like something similar needs to happen within these people that are becoming practitioners. There's a lot of psychics out there that may possibly don't have the training that is necessary, but I also think that it's an integrity thing. With me being a seer, the biggest difference that I see is I could tell anybody and everybody something and dissect their whole story and tell them the future and everything else. If that's not the case, I'm not going to put myself out there and exploit my gifts like that.
It's true of mediums also. And I think it's a measure of your integrity when you can basically say, this isn't happening. And I can understand why that might give someone a bad review, but at least there's organizations like Forever Family Foundation certifying mediums and promoting awareness of what the sitters, the people that seek out the mediums, what they should look for and what they should avoid. I would imagine you're doing something with the Healer's Realm podcast as well, which I think we all need. Last question. We hear a lot about 3D, 5D, and raising our vibration and ascension. How does your work with shamanism and your podcast actually figure into that?
That's a good question. I do feel like Yeshua came back. He's already here. Like, people are saying when Jesus comes back, because they are looking for all these things to happen and everything, and he's already back. And so it is the healer season. And that's why I'm here in such a time as this. It wasn't by coincidence. It wasn't by chance. I'm a 211. And when you're talking about life paths, you know, 2 is for healing and 11 is master. So I'm a master of healing. And I'm also a jaguar. I'm also a seer, and I'm also a shaman, because I was needed in such a time as this. Raising the elevation. People have been born in this time frame specifically to do that. After I had my surgery, I had a dream, and that was the first vivid dream that I had in a while. And when I say vivid, they could touch you and you could touch them. The experience is so real. And when you don't have breath, there's something wrong. And that's what was happening with me. They had to repair that so that I could have that flow. But I also saw a huge body. It was like, have you ever seen a building is getting fixed and they have these different things for people to work on? Mm-hmm. So that's what was on the body, is these different like levels, and they were working on this part of the body and that part of the body. And that's what's happening right now in this life, that a particular part of the body is being worked on, is being healed, is being fixed so that it can operate and conduct what it needs to conduct. And it's very interesting, because that's who I come in contact with, is people that are on that same journey, that are doing those similar things, or things that both of us could be connected to and help, so that we could all raise the vibration. It's not just a me thing. It's a we thing. It's a we experience. And once we get that, once we understand that, then we could have and make this experience a better experience. But we have to learn that this is not, oh, an individual thing. That's what we are. We have to work together as a team. And even if it's just in passing, you do something one time and there's a connection, that's a connection that you needed to go to the next level. That's how we're working now.
I did want to ask a question about, you mentioned that you are a 211. But I have a feeling that that's going to open up a whole nother kettle of fish. So I will say thanks for coming on to the show. I do believe there's going to be a part two.
Oh,
you agree?
Yes, I would love to.
To be continued. Denise, again, thanks very much for coming on today. How can our listeners learn more about you in the meantime?
You could find me _thehealersrealm_ on Instagram. If you want to write me, go to theshamanicgroup.com or send me an email at tranquility@theshamanicgroup.com.
I will put those links into the show notes and the transcript as well. You've been listening to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. You can find more info and episodes at closertovenus.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.